So I have to do this on my computer today because I have to watch Joni on the baby monitor on my phone.
Why? What's she been doing?
Whatever the hell she wants to do.
Listen, she's three now, so she can do whatever she wants.
She got that memo, and it's like day and night now. She used to be my little sweetie pie. Now she's my cow pie.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. This is episode 144, and this week, my guest is my friend, Nyka Spaulding. Before we start, though, I wanted to just tell you that at the top of the show, you heard my sister talking about her kid, Joni, the three-year-old who is very three right now. She kept trying to run into the street and do all kinds of crazy stuff while we were in Nashville. So she's a doll, but she's a busy doll. But my sister and I do a show called The Struggling Sisters Show, and I would love for you to get to listen to that. Head to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. And you can start listening to, I think we have maybe 10 episodes out right now. Every other week we do one. Coming out this week is our episode where we talked about David Letterman's new show, Tina Fey, and products that we are loving right now. Ladies, how is summer treating you? I have been on two trips. I say trip and not vacation because vacation implies relaxation, and I have not been relaxing. My husband did not go on either one because one was a trip with my sister and her kids, and so he kind of wasn't invited, but he honestly didn't care. And then the second one was a trip with my daughter for her 10th birthday that was just a girl's trip. So anyway, while it seems super duper fun and there's parts of it that really are, I'm exhausted. There was not a lot of vacation-y feel to these trips, but I am in it to win it. I am throwing myself into parenting wholeheartedly, or at least majority-heartedly, and I hope that you guys are doing the same. What we're doing is really important, even when we're ground down to a nub. So this week, I'm talking with Nyka. I have so much respect for her. In fact, for a long time, I wouldn't talk to her because she was so intimidating. But she doesn't mean to be intimidating, but I kind of think she doesn't mind that people are a little bit intimidated by her. You'll see. She's just super smart, super confident, really, really knows a lot of stuff. And we have the best times at coffee talking about things. And I ask her questions and she tries not to hurt my feelings because I'm way more sensitive than should even be allowed sometimes. Personality-wise, if you're on the Enneagram, she's an 8 and my daughter's an 8. And so a friendship with Nyka has been so enlightening to me and helpful, super helpful. In this show, we talk a lot about diversity, a whole lot about diversity, because she is not just talking about how we should have diversity in our lives. She is actually doing it with a great amount of humility. And I think we have a lot to learn from her. We also talk about theology. We also talk about apologetics. She talks about some really great resources for studying God's word as a tired mom. Also some great resources for educating ourselves on the important topics of diversity and how to create just and fair societies, which is what the Bible calls us to. I really love this chat and I'm confident that you will too. So let's jump right in. Hey Nyka, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Emily?
Good. What does your morning look like? You don't have kids. I know you have cats. You get up early. You roll out of bed at the last second.
No, definitely not get up early because there's just only sin to be found before 6 a.m. So
only sin.
Try to sleep till I'm not cranky. So I wake up. Yeah. I mean, if I'm up too early, I'll probably sin by being rude to somebody. So try Absolutely. To stay sanctified in that way. But no, I wake up at about 7 each morning and then I find something edible on my way out the door. And then I actually have a decent commute from where I live in North Dallas to where I work in South Dallas. So that's usually where I spend some time just centering on the Lord, whether it's listening to an audiobook or podcast or Bible on tape. It's not on tape, but you get the picture. It's
Bible
audio
on
coming out of my cell phone. Yeah, exactly. I love me some vinyl. So I get a vinyl in my passenger seat and
that's interesting.
And do a little, yeah.
Okay.
Remix the Ecclesiastes and all that. And then, and then I get to work and I work in Oak Cliff, which is my favorite part of Dallas these days. And then each day just looks a little bit different for whatever I'm doing with my job that day. So Mondays is a lot of administration. So that's what I've been doing this morning. So that's kind of a typical morning for me.
All right. So what do you love about Oak Cliff? Would you call yourself a church planter? What's your title? Was the church already there? What's going on?
No, the church is definitely not there. There was nothing here. I will say the church, Big C, was always in Oak Cliff. Jesus is everywhere and he's got his people everywhere. So I don't want to pretend like St. Jude Oak Cliff, which is the name of my church plant, brought Jesus anywhere, because we certainly didn't do that. We just showed up where God was already working and said, hey, God, if you'll use us, we'd love to be a part of it. And so
why did you pick that place?
Actually, it picked me, so I'll be real honest with you. I loved Oak Cliff prior to even knowing about this church plant, just because for those that are in Dallas, you kind of know there's a good food scene down here. It's just a lot more relaxed. It's a little bit different environment. There's a lot of diversity, which is a value of mine. And so I love this part of the town. And then I was approached about being a part of this team by the head pastor here, a guy named Martin Bond. And so when he asked me, do I want to come on board? It made a lot of sense to come be a part of this side of Dallas. But I never thought I'd be a church planner. I mean, I went to seminary thinking I'd be a women's minister the rest of my life. Either that or be a seminary professor. I'm a little bit of a nerd, so I enjoy teaching the Bible and teaching others the Bible. And it's different. It's definitely different and stretching me in some good ways. And so, but it's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad I jumped in.
All of us moms need better sleep. One way to get better sleep is to get better sheets. Brooklinen.com is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. They have over 20,000 five-star reviews. That's almost as much as this podcast has. Just kidding, they're still winning. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns. You can mix and match them, and they can complement any decor. Brooklinen is luxury bedding, but underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. So my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets that I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code MSW at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code MSW at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code MSW.
Okay, so I want to talk about the diversity. Why is that important to you? Was it always important to you? What is working and what's some dumb stuff people do that they just need to stop doing?
Yeah. So one, no, it hasn't always been a value to me. Well, let me say this. I was privileged enough to grow up in some diverse environments. So I was around diversity most of my life. In fact, my high school was half black, half white. And I didn't realize how rare that was until getting older and realizing that actually most people live in segregated societies today in America. And so it wasn't until I started taking seriously conversations with some of my black friends here in Dallas. And really the impetus was, if for those who are in Dallas, or those really, it was a national news when the shootings happened here in Dallas where police officers were killed.
Yeah.
That prompted a set of conversations between me and some of my black friends, just honest conversations. And I was beginning to realize we are not taking seriously this value that God has. When God says every tribe, tongue, and nation, he has a heart for diversity. When God inaugurated his church in the book of Acts, one of the first things he says when Jesus tells them, hey, you're going to go into Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria, ends of the earth. And there's an ethnic point to that you're not just going to share the gospel with the Jews, but you're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, who would have been this antagonistic group to the Jews, a group that they certainly didn't get along. There was a lot of tension there. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God sees the value of diversity. And I believe that as Christians, we cannot fully appreciate what it means to be image bearers of God if we can't see God in all the different folks that are around us. And so if you're only with people who look like you, act like you, talk like you, I think you're frankly handicapping yourself from seeing the beauty of God's image bearingness and others that aren't like us. And I think it just challenges us to see the world in a different way. And so I had to repent of that. I had to repent of, you know, sort of surrounding myself around folks that are white like me and folks that like the things that I do, like to worship the way that I do, like to talk the way that I do. And that sent me on a journey of going, okay, Lord, what do I, one, need to repent of? And two, what do I need to purposely seek out in my life? And so One that looked like having really honest conversations. The second thing, I found myself in a predominantly Black church in South Dallas as a part of their women's Bible study for a year. Because the truth was, I'd never worshiped in a context that I wasn't the majority culture. And so many times we ask our Black and Latino friends to give up their preferences to come be a part of what we're doing in worship.
Yeah.
And so I felt like if I'm going to ask people to do that, I should probably know what that is.
What was that experience like?
It was amazing. It was so interesting. It's funny. One of the things, I'll talk about things that aren't helpful. I tend to see this in my white friends, that they say things like, well, I'm colorblind. I don't see color.
Yeah.
And really, that's offensive. I mean, it's not just ignorant. It's offensive because you should see the Blackness and the brownness of your friends because it's a beautiful thing that God's done. And you're diminishing something that you should value in them, that God values in them, and that they value in themselves. And that's a luxury to say that I don't see color because... Yeah. At the end of the day, when you're a young Black man and you get pulled, you're very aware of the color of your skin. If you ask your Black friends or your Latino friends, when are you aware of the color of your skin? They will tell you it's daily. Whereas white people, if you ask them, hey, when was the first time you knew you were white? Often, if folks haven't entered into these kinds of conversations, they'll tell you, I've never thought about that I'm white. And like, I'll give you an example. The other night I was stupid and I decided to go walking around my neighborhood at 10:30 at night. Okay. Because I'm again stupid. And so I don't live in an unsafe neighborhood. It's not the safest part of town, but it's not unsafe. And I was walking and then I turned the corner and there was this young man who looked like he was not doing well and probably had taken some sort of drug or some sort of substance earlier in the night. He was being really erratic and his behavior was unsettling. And then he started walking toward me. And so I thought, okay, should go home. And so I remember walking by a yard that had some just big sticks from lawn stuff in their yard. So I went and picked one up.
You didn't.
And then I started walking. Yeah, I did. And I started walking very quickly toward my house. And I had this moment when I realized it's a privilege to me to be white, wearing a hoodie and carrying a big stick in my neighborhood. Because if the police were to pull up, it wouldn't be a question of what am I doing? It'd be a question of, hey, can we get you home? And I thought in that moment about some of my friends who would have to have thought twice. And I was doing it for self-protection. You know, it would have been the same reason so many of my Black friends would have been my decision. And yet they would have had to have thought twice about how does this look? What are the optics here? Because they live in a culture that sadly, a lot of times, assumes the worst about them. And I have the privilege of, you know, I would have just been the dumb blonde who's out roaming the streets at 10:30 at night that shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And I think those are some of the things that I think as a white community, what I'm trying to challenge my white friends to do is to try and put yourself in the shoes of some of your Black friends. And you can do that by just asking them, hey, what's it like? And when you ask them, listen and believe them because they're telling stories that are so normative to their experience. If you talk to that community and yet so many times they don't share because when they share a true story, people go, well, are you sure? Well, maybe that person was having a bad day when they called you the N-word. And I'm just going, are you serious right now? I mean, and so that's just an example.
Can I ask you, I know we're very different personalities. We talked about this at length. And it's so great to me to know Enneagram 8. But so I'm a 1 and my feelings get hurt and I'm a delicate flower. And so I feel like I'm going to say something and say the wrong thing on accident. Like my heart is like for this conversation, but I get so nervous.
Yeah.
And then I get very... My heart hurts. So how would you counsel a delicate flower such as myself?
Yeah. So I'd say a couple of things. I'd say one, this is a conversation that has overwhelmingly been welcomed by my minority friends when it's a posture of humility and a posture of willing to listen. And that's what I'd say is I think the conversations are tough. If you want to control the conversation, then I'd say, hey, take a step back and let somebody else control it. And then I'd say two, our Black and Latino friends and our Asian friends, for that matter, and Middle Eastern friends, I think in Dallas, the race issues are predominantly Black and Latino, which is why I keep referring to those groups. But I know that it exists across the board for minorities. And so, but I'd say they've been very gracious to write some incredible resources. And so I think one of the best things that folks can do who are really new to this conversation is don't expect one of your minority friends to educate you, but to educate yourself. And so the starting book that I give to everybody is Divided by Faith. It's a book about evangelicals, and it just points out the history of the church and where we've been on the wrong side of things. And then also gives just practical ways that racism plays out today, because often people think of racism as, well, I personally don't have any hard feelings towards minorities, so therefore I'm not a racist. And when you think about racism, overwhelmingly minorities think of systems that are unjust, you know, like the legal system, the healthcare system, the education system, the housing market. I mean, overwhelmingly it's in favor of whites in our country. And so when you talk to a minority, they think of systems. Sadly, when you talk to whites, they think of individuals. Well, individually, I'm not a part of the problem. So
that is so amazing. Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's absolutely true.
Yeah, yeah, that it's just a fact. It's better to be born white in America. And people can argue with that if they want, but I'm willing to stand in my eight shoes and fight anybody on that. And so,
yeah.
So I'd say educate yourself. Another great, great resource is Be the Bridge. And that's one that if you have a minority friend, yeah, she's incredible. And she's done the hard and difficult creating this resource. And she has I was actually at a conference this weekend where she spoke at Sparrow in Dallas. And a big part of the weekend was about racial justice. And she talked to, and it reminded me of a resource that she has called Whiteness 101. It's very cleverly titled. And I think that's a great place for folks to start, because I think what it does is it gives you some parameters of how to best go about these conversations. Okay. And then I'd say, you know, part of it is a lot of folks that I talk to go, I don't have a single black friend. And I go, you know, maybe that's the starting point.
Maybe start there. Yeah.
So we want to ask folks really difficult conversations. Like if you have a friend who's walked through an abortion and you want to talk to him about that, really, you wouldn't talk to a stranger about that. You talk to your friend, and you'd only do it after building up enough relational collateral to go, hey, can I ask you some tough things? And so I think that's where we start, is we build genuine, authentic relationships just for the purpose of being blessed by having folk in life who aren't like us and seeing that as a value, and then going, okay, can I ask you the hard thing? And then ask that. But I would say there are so many resources out there that folks can listen to. Another great one that I love to listen to is Truth's Table. It's a podcast.
Okay.
It's three black women. They say it's four black women by black women. But if you're white, you can stand on the side and listen. It's kind of a funny tagline that
okay.
they have. I would listen to their first season, especially goes through some of these issues of colorism, racism, how to be an advocate. And then they tell personal stories that they're gut-wrenching, and it makes you kind of realize, hey, I've had it different just because of the color of my skin, and I want to be an advocate. I want to be a bridge builder instead of walking away because I can't. It's convenient for some white folks in these conversations to enter into them when they want to, and then we can always walk away. And I think it's incumbent upon us to not walk away.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation to be able to walk away and to be on the more sensitive side, which is what I am. And so my thing, like, especially being a white person, is, well, I don't have a problem with you, but you having a problem with the system and having a problem with the way you've always been treated are not that nice to me. And that really hurts my feelings. And so I'm going to walk away now because I can.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where we get back to so you look at what God's heart is, right? And so I spent this last summer in the Minor Prophets, and I was already convinced for the need of racial justice and just frankly justice in our land. But you cannot escape the Minor Prophets without seeing that justice and righteousness are at the center of God's heart and that's what he demands for the land. And so that's where I would just say, we sometimes as evangelicals think the greatest and most important thing that we can do is share the gospel. And it certainly is. But God also demands that we create just and fair societies. And so I think if we would work toward that, then folks who have had a difficult time with us because there are historical structures of difficulty, those kinds of things would begin to knock down the walls. And so I'd say, hey, if this is a scary thing for you, there are also other ways to enter into this battle by seeking the good and the welfare and the land for everybody. To say, hey, where are there systems of injustice? If I'm an HR, do I automatically overlook a certain demographic just because I don't think they'd be a good culture fit? And what's that coming from? Is that just a bias that I carry? Am I willing to look at maybe a minority, you know, applicant a little bit harder because they might be really good for us because they present a different point of view that would help our company? And so I think those are the ways that we can also enter into this.
Care.com is an easy and reliable way to find care for everyone in your family. Your pets, your kids, your actual house. You can get dog walking. People can give you rides. They help you handle everyday tasks so you can spend more time with your family. I personally would love to replace all my errands with some family time. Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing all your family's care. They even help you line up a date night sitter, find care for seniors if you have aging parents living with you and you just need a little bit of a break. They'll even run errands for you. Care.com makes life simpler for families everywhere. So I was checking out their website, and the service that my heart most desires is housekeeping. I don't know about you.
Some of you lucky people already have a house cleaner, but I found that the website pulled up immediately super close house cleaners with whatever hourly rate I wanted to pay and all the reviews about how they've been doing, how long they've been doing it. Care.com gives you access to their background checks, references from other customers, qualifications, their certifications. It's a really easy website to use. And I actually found a lady I'm pretty sure I'm going to ask to come help me out with my house. To save 30% off of a Care.com premium membership, visit care.com/MSW when you subscribe. And I checked it out. That's a better deal than you can get if you just go to care.com. So go to care.com/MSW and you'll get 30% off. That's care.com/MSW. What about when you are met with some, like, because you said people are not typically super open and excited about, you know, your church when they first meet you. Not that they're not happy about the church, but they're a little skeptical, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I guess maybe it's a personality thing and you're just like, listen, you should be skeptical and you just keep leaning in, right?
Yeah. I do think that is part of God has made a little bit different than you, and praise God for that, right? I mean, we need folks like you and then we need folks like me. And so that's part of it, is I don't mind being disliked. I don't mind getting my hand slapped a little bit, to an extent. I mean, I'm not looking to make enemies, certainly. Right. I would say this, one of the most impactful things said to me on this journey of me realizing that we, especially in Dallas has a real racism problem that's deeply embedded in our roots. And yeah. As I was talking to folks, one of the things that I realized among my Black friends is they're tired. And the ones that have stuck with this, they're tired because they've been having this conversation their whole lives and they're rarely believed. And what's the most difficult crowd for them to talk to are whites. And what I've known in any system is that you need somebody. So you kind of look at anything, whether it's women wanting rights in our country, the people that get things done for women are often the men who take up the cause for women, right? You always need somebody in the position of power to take up the cause for those who have less power. And so one of the things that somebody said to me is, hey, Nike, your job as a white person who understands this issue is to speak to white people, because mm-hmm. white people are willing to listen to white people more than they're willing to listen to a minority on this issue at times. And so mm-hmm. you have a responsibility and an obligation to talk to your friends and open up their eyes to see where they've been wrong. And I will tell you, that is the most difficult crowd. It has been a lot easier for me to have difficult conversations with my minority friends who have been wronged by institutions that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. The grace and forgiveness that they've been willing to extend despite continuous hurt and continuous really abuse is profound to me. I don't think I'm that forgiving. Mm-hmm. But when I start to mess with the status quo of some of my white friends, that is often where more of the pushback comes. And mm-hmm. I think about all the times that people have paved ways for me as a woman in ministry and paved way for me just as a young woman in ministry, especially. And I just think, okay, this is my responsibility to give that back. And so I would just say that's part of being the family of God. Is we're truth tellers and we say hard things and we do it because we love each other. Mm-hmm. And that's where I spent enough time with my Black friends to see how exhausted they are that I was like, okay, I will start saying the hard things. It's like, I will be the one that gets their hand slapped so you don't have to. And I will pave spaces for you to share your story that's safe, that I will demand that those who are listening do not rebuke you or deny you, but that I can create an environment where, hey, this is my friend. Don't you dare say anything rude to her after she shares her story. You know, if you've got a problem, you better come to me. And so,
and then they won't.
Yeah, no, typically they don't, or they do, but it's through an email or a text, and that's fine too. I mean, I understand not everybody is, you know, we all have our communication ways of getting things across, but I would also say I've just seen, I think the Lord is, you know, especially on the 50-year anniversary of MLK, that, you know, the ERLC just did a conference in Memphis in the very place where he was assassinated, 50-year anniversary of his assassination. And, you know, I had a friend who shared with me, she's Black and she had a white friend there and they were sharing a hotel room for the week. And 50 years ago, they couldn't have done that. Mm. And so I just think this is an inevitable direction that our country must go.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be on the wrong side of it. You've seen so much footage of so many white folks, especially evangelicals and Christians, who are on the wrong side of it. And I just think about that 60 years from now, if my nieces and nephews look back on my life, I want them to know that their aunt fought for the right things. Yeah. And I'm not always right. Like, I know that. I know that in my zeal, I'm going to make mistakes, but I want to make hustle mistakes because I'm trying to do the right thing as opposed to being apathetic to this issue that, frankly, we've got a lot more work to do.
Yeah. Do you find that you feel frustrated with, like, how do you not get mad at white people, or how do you stay in it and not be resentful? How do you know you're making a difference?
Yeah, so I do. I mean, I think that there are definitely times that I do get angry or sad. I also think that, and Emily, this is where you and I are similar, that God's given us a sense of humor. And so yeah. I'm able to also be like, white people are the worst, and just kind of, you know, and laugh some of it off too, because God's given us that ability. And then I think too, I think, but for the grace of God, there go I think about the times in my life that I probably would have been apathetic to these issues as well, if not for the kind, loving influence of people like Elizabeth Hoffman or Sharon James or so many others in my life that were able to go, hey, these are the things that you're not seeing. And God's kindness to open my eyes and open my ears. And so I think that's just ministry. I mean, that's ministry, whether it's this issue or, hey, you really got to stop sleeping with your boyfriend, or, hey, really, you actually have to be faithful to your husband. Or that's where I think being a minister helps to just go, we are always prodding with folks to walk tightly to the Lord. And in my own life, there's areas of ignorance and confusion. And so where people have been gracious and patient with me, I want to extend that to others. But I'd be lying if I said there aren't times that I'm frustrated and there aren't times that I expect more of people. And that's where we have a good God that we come back to and we go, hey, this is your fight. And I know you care about this. So help me and energize me. And then you have your people that, you know, and that kind of, they help you lick your wounds a little bit when you get beat up, and then they shove you back out there. And so I have those people in my life. I have a great community group. I have a great circle of friends. I have a healthy church environment. I mean, I'm really blessed to be in a position to where I can kind of take up the charge on some of these things.
So do you speak about it? Like, how do you find that you're furthering this?
Yeah. So a year ago, I transitioned from a different church into the one that I'm in. And so a year ago, I was a lot more vocal just because I had more opportunities for that.
Okay.
I'd say now a lot of what I'm doing, I'm in a monthly group that meets that's half minority, half white. And we talk about these things. So that's part of it, is just continuing to include diversity in my life. I think another way is just, having a lot of one-on-one conversations with folks who just go, hey, have you considered these things? And then this weekend, like I mentioned, there was the Sparrow Conference. And so I think pushing resources towards people who are interested in it. Mm-hmm. But I would say this past year has been more of a position of just encouraging those who are on the front lines with it, and just trying to take more of a back seat in this and just pray for them, tell them I'm praying for them. It's been a little bit of a different role. But when given opportunities to speak about it, I do take them. And it's one of those things that I just implement into my normal routine of doing theology in my new church. So at my new church, I'm the resident theologian. And so, for example, we're talking on the Trinity, and last week was the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he unifies believers. It's one of the things he does. In Ephesians, he knocks down the whole dividing wall of hostility, and there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, that we see in Galatians. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just a softball pitch right over the plate for me to go, hey, guys, if you are struggling with racial bias, that is not of the Spirit. If you are struggling with any sort of bias, that is not in that. If you have a particular people group you do not love, you need to thank God that when you get to heaven, you will be so sanctified that you will love them. And that's a beautiful thing. And then just able to also rebuke the church where I need to and encourage my particular body. Hey, this is the type of kingdom work that is expected of those who are indwelled by the believers now, or indwelled by the Spirit now. That believers, because we are unified, should seek unity. That whatever it is that is, so sort of garden is what I tell people. We started in a garden and we're ending in a garden. Everything that's in those gardens is the type of work that we should be doing now. So whatever will be so in the kingdom ahead of us when it turns is the type of work that God delights in now. And if that means unity among every tribe, tongue, and nation, then that is the type of work that we should be a part of now as we build God's kingdom and welcome people into it.
I love it, Nika. It's good.
Yeah.
I love where you're at and what you're doing, and it's so, so good.
Thanks, friend.
Okay, so let's talk about theology. Let's talk about apologetics. Let's talk about why we should care if we're not as intellectual as you are.
I think intellectual is the nice way of saying nerdy. I think that's what you just did there.
Stop.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason why we should care is because the Bible tells us to. And so if I could just Jesus juke you, but
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know my answer to this. We've had this conversation. And so I believe that when Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark specifically, who records, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We as women, we do heart very well. I think we do soul very well. I think even sometimes we do strength very well. I think women are strong, frankly. I think women have, with their loins, girded themselves up and done mission work and raised babies and raised other people's babies. I love you. I mean, I think women.
I love that you put loin in a sentence.
Just girded the loins.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah. It just rolls off the tongue. but where I have historically, and I mean historically truly in the sense that women were not welcomed into many academic institutions such as seminaries. They weren't welcomed into a lot of places where men were trained to teach the Bible. So historically, I think women's ministries have sometimes allowed this area of loving the Lord with our mind to be maybe our Achilles heel.
Yeah. And
again, women paved the way. I was not the first woman to go to my seminary. And thank God for the women that went ahead of me, women like Vicki Kraft and Sue Edwards and others who did that so that I could go. And what I have noticed is that when I have begun to talk about theology and when I've talked about loving the Lord with all of our mind, women have gotten excited. That it's not an unwelcome thing. That I think it's something women truly want to do. I just think they haven't been resourced or taught how to do it throughout their lives. And so I think because God commands it, and I think because, frankly, our minds are broken. When Adam and Eve ate that apple, they didn't just break our hearts. They broke our minds. Mm. I think it's incumbent upon us to renew our minds, as Scripture would command us to do, so that we can think well about the Lord. Because what we believe about God does affect how we obey. And I think we have to be really careful about what it is that we believe. And so that's why theology matters.
Okay, solid. 10 points for that answer.
Thank you.
Where would you point a mom who is tired? And that's not an excuse, but it is actually like a very real exhaustion factor.
Yeah.
So where would you point them if they don't feel like they know enough to even know where to start?
I would say, one, tired moms should definitely get into a local church where somebody will take your baby from you for an hour and a half in a women's Bible study. So I think that's a big part of it. Especially, I mean, if you live in Dallas, there is no excuse. I can name 10 churches now that will take your baby. Yeah. Not and they give
not
them back,
forever.
I should mention. Yeah, mm-hmm. they do Short-term. Eventually give them back. Yeah. I would also say part of what makes it difficult, gosh, there are so many resources coming out. And it's hard to know what's quality.
Yes.
You kind of like everybody who has at least 10,000 followers on their Instagram can write a book.
That's so
that
annoying.
Make excellent books. Yeah, yeah. And some, frankly, are worth passing on. And I say that knowing that I believe that God was in that process with them. But in terms of if you're a tired mom and you need a jolt, I don't know that those would be the first ones I'd go to. And so there are just trusted authors that I'd say, look, Jenny Allen, yeah. Beth Moore, Sandra Glahn, who's a local DTS Dallas gal. Her coffee cup series is amazing.
What's her? How do you spell the last name?
Yeah, G-L-A-H-N.
Okay.
And it's a coffee cup series in their Bible studies. And she makes it easy on you to where she prints the Bible in the study. So you don't even have to remember the Bible, because I know baby brain's a real thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you take that thing and you got 10 minutes. You can work through some of it in 10 minutes. A great morning devotional for those who are going, I can barely squeeze out 2 minutes, is New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp.
I love that one.
He's actually a PCA guy, which is the denomination I'm in. So shout out to the PCA. He's just really impactful in terms of reminding us of God's grace. But that's where I'd start. And then I'd say, gosh, technology is our friend. I know so many moms that are in carpool lines. And I'm like, that is ideal time to be podcasting. Mm. And so like one of my favorite podcasts that just popped up a few months ago is The Village Church does one with Jen Wilkin and Kyle Worley and JT English. And it's excellent. And you can just give 30-minute like jolt to the arm of good theology. And then you pick up your kid and get your PB&J unless they've got a peanut allergy, which is also a real thing. And, you know, you're ready to go.
And so, you're saying that because the one time you said the thing about the peanut.
Yeah, I gotta always be careful about that. So that's what I'd say find a local church, first of all, because that's where you're gonna be loved and your kids are gonna be loved and you're gonna need that resource. And then second, there are great resources out there that teach not only Bible study but theology.
Okay.
And I mean, like when you're in the car, that's where I have tons of books on tape. And I'm just like, look, you know, this is where I get time with the Lord, because we live in a modern society and I wish I had 3 hours to just sit and drink my hot tea and pet my cat and read dead people's books, because those are the best books.
Yeah.
But I don't. So I get time with the Lord when I can. And I would just say also BSF is an incredible organization that does Bible study for men and women, predominantly for women though. And they love your kids. Like if your kids are too young to read or interact, they pray over your kids. And then they have like curriculum and all of that prepared. And so that's another organization that I'd highly recommend. But they do require that you do your homework. So if you're a really tired mom, maybe go to a church where they don't actually check your homework.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, I never have actually done BSF, but I've heard amazing things about it.
It's a great organization.
I'm not sure if you know this, but leggings are so much more than just workout clothes. Great leggings are truly a necessity, and that doesn't mean they should cost a fortune, though. That's why I'm so glad that I found Fabletics.com. Fabletics clothes are designed to move with you through your lightest workouts and the most intense. They're available in sizes extra, extra small. That's what I wear.
just kidding, to 3X. There's petite, regular, and even tall lengths. So when you visit the site for the first time, you're going to get a style quiz. They tell you kind of what you're going to love based on what you've said. They have lots of really fun things with patterns, but I tend to be more towards the simple neutrals. And so that's what they show me because that's what I said I like. Makes it really easy. And if you sign up to be a VIP, you're going to save 40 to 50% off the retail price. I signed up as a VIP member and it's awesome. I ordered some black leggings and some gray joggers. I have no intention of jogging in them, but I kind of like that that's what they're called. Makes me feel like I've already done something. They're going to arrive here pretty soon and I can't wait. I will really enjoy sitting around in my joggers. Being a VIP at Fabletics is great. I love it and I know you will too. So go to fabletics.com/MSW now and get two pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They're $99 value and you're going to get two pairs for only $24 when you join fabletics.com/MSW. That's fabletics.com/MSW. Okay, so apologetics.
Yeah.
Define it and tell us how we can know more about it.
Yeah, apologetics is really just giving an argument for what you believe. And so it's the ability, I think, in the practical, so the practical definition I would say is just the ability to interact with skeptics or non-believers or maybe even antagonistic people as to why we believe what we believe. Mm-hmm. And that is, here's why I'd say, so many times we believe that we have to have all the right answers because somebody's coming to us and chipping away at our faith. And I think one of the best things that you can do in apologetics is to put them on the defensive. And so this book called Tactics by Greg Kochel is one of the best books I've read about this, where frankly, we've already bet our lives on Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we're pretty sure about that. Like, and by pretty sure, I mean, I'm literally staking my entire life on the fact that a dead man came out of the grave and he happened to be God and man.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel the need when people are attacking my faith to know all of the ins and outs of apologetics. But I do think it's important that we understand and we're sure about the resurrection. And that's what I'd say. That's my go-to 100% every time somebody's like, so do you really believe a man was swallowed by a fish? I mean, can you give me any examples of how Jonah could really be true? And I just am like, okay, let's table that discussion for 1 second. What do you think happened 2,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. Did Jesus rise from the dead or not? And if he did, then a man being swallowed by a fish is child's play.
No big deal.
Okay, that's no big deal, right? And frankly, that's not central to what we believe as Christians anyways. But if he really did come out of that grave and he really did fulfill what he said he was going to do, you need to reckon with that man. And I'm telling you, the least of your concerns is a fish story. You have much bigger fish to fry, to continue the pun. And so that's where I'd say with apologetics is you don't have to know how old the earth is. You don't have to know every shred of evidence as to whether or not the Bible is reliable. But what I would say is important is, are you convinced of the resurrection? And why are you convinced of it? And then girding yourself in that truth. And I think it's important for people to look at that.
Okay. I love it. I'm going to get that book. My husband just got a book. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about like teaching your kids apologetics, like how to have those conversations with them on their level.
Yeah,
it's good.
I never think it's too early to start teaching kids these things because, you know, they live in a much more hostile world than I think I grew up in. So
absolutely.
I think it's important for them to know what they believe.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, as always, I love chatting with you. I do want to do a lightning round for no apparent reason other than fun.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I would love you to answer these as fast as you can.
Got it.
Again, for no reason. Why not? Lightning just, you know, just seems like it needs to be fast. What's your favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Why?
Oh, why? Well, because I don't really work on Fridays usually. Mm-hmm. I always give myself a Sabbath on the Friday.
Okay.
And I feel like you can stay out as late as you want. Because then it's Saturday the next day, so you can do whatever you want on Friday. It just feels free.
Our community group meets at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, so that is not my reality.
No, that's not of the Lord.
I know.
Y'all need to reconsider that.
I know.
See, that's painful.
Okay, so what's a nickname your parents called you?
Spalding. My mom still to this day calls me Spalding, which is funny. Nobody else on the planet, I think, calls me that.
But that's your last name.
I know. And it's not hers, which is a funny thing. So I don't know if that's her way of distancing herself from me when I do bad things or I don't know. But always in sports, everybody calls me Nikes. Everybody that becomes my friend calls me Nikes. But my mom, I could hear this shrill Spalding over everybody else's voice when I played sports if I did something wrong. So, yeah.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I should say I love my mama and she's a good mom, but yeah, she calls me Spalding, which is funny to me.
That is so funny. Okay, your favorite childhood TV show?
Oh, I'm blanking on the name, but no, without a doubt, America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh my gosh. Oh, I still think that's the funniest thing ever.
Yes. Love that show.
Especially when pets are included. Oh, I watch it every Friday night. probably part of why I love Friday nights.
There you go.
I love that show.
I love the people and when they fall. People falling is hysterical.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Okay, this, you want a true confession here?
Yes, I do.
When I was in high school, I learned a ton about physics. And so I would get a stopwatch and a calculator. And I would start calculating how hard people were hitting things on that show. Like I would use a stopwatch and then to time certain things and then do some calculations about how far I thought they fell. I would just be in tears laughing at how much pain they must have been in. So there you go.
You did all that math just to know how much pain they were in.
Yeah. It's so messed up. But I just thought that was the funniest thing.
I love that about you so hardcore. Yeah. You got a calculator out. There was calculating. Okay. So good. Say something in an Asian language, any Asian language.
Ni hao, wa ai ni. That's a hello and I love you in Mandarin.
Yeah. Hey, I used to live in China. I totally get that. That's probably all the Chinese I need that I remember. I can also count to 10, so it's kind of impressive.
That's all I know is hello and I love you. So it's not really helpful when you meet people for the first time because you can't really lead off with I love you.
No, you can't. Okay. What is a triangle called that has two equal sides?
It's an isosceles
triangle. Man, I had to Google that. I was sure that you wouldn't know that.
It also has two equal angles, and you can always know the third one because you add them up and then subtract from 180. Come on now.
Man, I see. But when I wrote that down, I did not know you were calculating things when you watched America's Funniest Home Videos. So I didn't really
I was a high school math and science tutor all through seminary.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your favorite clothing brand?
Oh, Nike. Come on now.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I still do.
We'll take that part out.
Yeah. If you were my roommate, you probably would start to see your sock drawer slowly fade, and then you would see mine begin to grow overwhelmingly because I love stealing people's socks.
Socks. That's interesting. I would say aim higher, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's not a federal offense. So, you know, keeping it somewhat below the authorities level.
That's good. How do you feel about cranberries?
A naked cranberry, not so hot. My mama's cranberry sauce is the only reason it's worth celebrating Thanksgiving Day. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. What is the most boring thing ever?
You know, when you go to a meeting that could have been handled in an email.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Especially if you went into the meeting without your cell phone. Ugh.
Do you keep it to yourself or do you say this is so ridiculous?
I think you know me pretty well to know what the answer
is. It comes right out. Okay. Tell me what you like to do on the weekends, but you need to say it in a Valley Girl voice.
Oh my gosh. So like in the fall, I love college football. So I like watch the Sooners and last year they were so good. And like now I just stay inside because the allergies have pretty much destroyed my life. So that's what I do. I read a lot of books too. Usually picture books. No, not really. Chapter.
That's so impressive. Your voice even I loved even the like smacking. Like I felt like you had gum in your mouth. It's really good. Okay. Last question. What is something that you just can't stop talking about right now? Like a product or a movie or something?
Oh man. That's a great, I know this is lightning, but I really want to answer this well. So the true answer is I can never stop talking about my cat. But right now in space and time, I think Black Panther, the movie, is probably something that comes up a lot. I do the Wakanda, the thing that the generals do, the Wakanda sign.
Okay.
I do that to my friends whenever they do something good or they need a little bit of encouragement.
So good.
So it's an excellent movie. If your listeners have not seen it, go see it. It's excellent.
Is it still in the theaters?
No, I don't know the answer to that. Probably. Sure.
You know what an isosceles triangle is, but you don't know that. That's all right.
Yeah, no, I'm like hardcore nerd, only halfway aware of what's going on in the world around me.
Okay, awesome. Well, Nika, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun.
Didn't she say some great words? So many good words, so many strong arguments, so much conviction on my end. And I hope you found some really great stuff too. So let's talk about how we can struggle well based on what Nika said. She listed some really great resources that I'm going to have in my show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. I am working my way through some of them right now. So I would head to the show notes to find those resources, the books, the podcasts, and check some of those out. This conversation matters and it's awkward. And like I said before, I mean, it can really hurt your feelings if you're like me. But even as I was getting off the phone with Nika, I was feeling so frustrated that my feelings I'm placing at a higher importance than humbly walking into some possibly, definitely uncomfortable situations. My feelings are important. They're not that important. They're not more important.
You know what I mean? So there's the rub for me. And I definitely have room to grow in this situation. So I'm working through those resources myself. Nika talks about having a posture of humility, not trying to control the conversation that you're having with someone who doesn't look like you, to listen to their stories and believe them. I would encourage you this week, and myself included, to see if we can't at least have one of those conversations where we listen, we ask questions, we be humble, and we believe what we're hearing and not downplay it or invalidate it, because these stories matter just as much as our stories matter. But I think also posture of humility, that really convicts me regarding my husband and my kids. I need to approach them with a posture of humility as well. Humility looks good on everyone. I don't know who said that. It wasn't me, but I like it. It's true. But sometimes fear keeps us from being humble, and sometimes pride keeps us from being humble. So I think we could all struggle well by approaching people who we are not always approaching with humility, if we just flip the script and be humble in our interactions with those closest to us and those that we are not similar to at all at first look. So it would really help the show, ladies, if you would rate and review the show on the Apple Podcast app. It helps the show be more visible to other people. I would love it if you would share the show. You can do that right from your phone to friends who you feel like would benefit from this conversation. So if you haven't done those things before, please do that. It would really be a blessing to me. All right, it's time to bring back my sister to talk about what y'all are buying using the Mom Struggling Well Amazon affiliate link. You can get to that link by going to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. So let's see what y'all are buying.
What else do you find on Amazon lately?
Someone using the affiliate link bought a Boppy nursing pillow. And I just wanted to say congratulations on either your first baby or a baby you didn't expect to have after you had all your other babies and got rid of your baby stuff.
Absolutely.
So congratulations, or hope you're okay with it. So a one-star review that made me laugh said, no back support. But it's like not a back support pillow, like goes around.
No. For the baby, it's head support.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, you're right. So they kind of nailed it.
That's a first-time mom then.
Yeah, that she was trying to, I don't know what she was trying to do with it. And then another one-star review said, I ordered this pillow and there was no pillow in the box. So that's too bad.
These people, what's happening to their orders?
I do not know, but I just want to say to this new mom who ordered it, I hope that your pillow is in the box.
At least.
I hope that you're not using it as a lumbar support, because it's not what it's supposed to be used for.
I hope you're not using the cardboard box, because there should have been a pillow in there.
All right, ladies, let me pray for us and we'll get started on our week. Lord, so thankful that you know we are a mess. Thank you that you love us even though. And honestly, I think sometimes even us being a mess, you somehow find it adorable. Like when our kids are a mess and we go, you know what? You're lucky you're cute. So I think that I'm thankful that you think we're cute. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me and my friends to excel still more in the things that we have learned and experienced from you, the things that we know are true of you, the promises that we have tested and found to be true. I pray that we would stand on those and excel still more, not because we're trying to earn your love, but from a place of being completely and fully loved. Lord, I pray that we would step out and have hard conversations. I pray that we wouldn't just leave uncomfortable situations because they're uncomfortable, but would we see those as opportunities to depend on you in ways we haven't before. Thank you that your eyes towards us are kind, and thank you that you are a strong supporter of your daughters who love you. I pray for these sweet sisters of mine, and I ask that you would encourage them and build them up and give them all kinds of endurance for this great race that we're running of motherhood. In Jesus' name, amen.